The Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast is presented by DraftKings Sportsbook. Sign up for DraftKings Sportsbook by using promo code RTRS. And brought to you by Body Bio. Get 20% off Gut Plus and everything else at bodybio.com with code RTRS20. Big Barker Therapeutic Dog Beds. Get yours at bigbarker.com/Ricky. And Stateside Urban Craft Vodka, the official sponsor of the Corner 3 newsletter with Zoe. StatesideVodka.com. On the show today, Mike challenged the Sixers. He said, look, Sixers, you got to win 9 straight. And after he said that, they have won 3 straight, as impossible as that seems. Joel Embiid is the scoring leader in the NBA, is now in the MVP conversation. Wow. All of that has happened since the last time we talked. We will do that. We'll go through the new NBA awards and maybe use some, replace the names they used with some process Sixers. The Ringer Top 100 is out. Daniel House has a rap song, at least one of them. And just some fantastic, the voicemails have been flowing lately. A lot of voicemails. Voicemails and email as well. Two things. First of all, perhaps you've seen everybody posting those avatars that are done by artificial intelligence. Well, we have an opportunity for you. I was talking to Abby, our artist, and we were thinking, wow, wouldn't it be nice if people got an actual artist to do their avatar instead of a computer to do their avatar? So we are going to do a limited edition run of 65 Abby-tars. That's right. Abby will do your avatar for you. Did mine already. It's on my Twitter. It's on my Instagram. They look awesome. $15. That's all it is. $15 to get your avatar and support a local artist right here before Christmas. You'll have your avatar by the new year. So if you are in the chat right now and watching live, the link is up there, but we will put it in the show notes of this pod. And I did mention Stateside Vodka. What better way to get through the holidays? I mean, in a joyous way, not in a sad way, than with Stateside Vodka or Surfside Iced Tea and Vodka or the Stateside Vodka Sodas. All of them. Sales on all this stuff right now at statesidevodka.com. It truly is the spirit that can bring you Christmas spirit. You got to be 21. To order it. StatesideVodka.com. We love you, Stateside. Without any further ado, Amos and the Chef.
Larry, sweetie, the man is
here. Say the name. I say the name. I say the name.
We will write y'all.
Welcome to the Rights to Ricky Sanchez podcast. I'm Spike Eskin, along with a guy who can get the Sixers to do whatever he wants just by asking. That is one Mike Levin.
If only that were true.
Yeah.
If only that were true.
Would have been a different decade, probably.
Would have been a different, a lot of things.
Yeah.
I'd be a different person, personality-wise. I did watch until I was ready for it, the Phillies SB Nation blog, The Good Fight, which I've read for a very long time, had a top 10 list of the Phillies' best postseason moments. Mm. And I just relived them earlier today. And
of this postseason or just postseason in
general? Oh, okay. Yeah. And it was just, what a ride that was, man.
I think
it happened so recently and it already feels so far away, but it was incredible. That was an exhilarating time. And I hope to one day feel that for these Philadelphia 76ers.
I think our friend Jack Fritz of the High Hopes podcast watches those highlights every day, I think, and has done it since the playoffs ended. I'm not even joking. I think he does it.
I get all it.
Yeah. So the Sixers.
That's three.
The last time we talked, we had just had the awful Lakers win.
Yeah.
And it was tough. It was a tough moment because it was a win, but it felt like shit. But then they come in, they beat the Hornets. Pretty handily, I would say, mostly handily. And then they come in and just obliterate the Sacramento Kings two teams they should beat at home, but Embiid is just on a fucking phenomenal heater. And the combination of Embiid and Harden in the Kings game specifically, and just the ball movement and Tobias, like it was, I'm saying that was the first time this year, the Kings game, where I was like, oh, this is what I expected them to look like, actually, yeah, all year long. And it was the Kings game that did it. Yeah?
Yeah. And it's not your older brother's Kings. Like, they're good this year. They're like good, the five seed right now. Yeah. Their defense has looked better. Really, they're there because their offense is moving at a really brisk pace and making a bunch of good decisions. And Sabonis has been awesome. But
by the way, watching that game, I have no idea how their defense has been passable because it looked fucking just
it wasn't very
atrocious.
Good that time. Yeah. But you know, we're familiar with that feeling of looking a lot worse than when we should. So maybe it's just a bad night.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, it was just a really solid win. It's good to be up 25 on a team, and you know, they let them creep back in a little bit, but it was never
got to nine at some point. I was a little nervous.
Yeah, never really, really in doubt.
Yeah.
I mean, Embiid's just been, he's been great since there was the Rockets loss right before the Lakers win.
Yeah.
Awful Wins, by the way, is a good name for a Sixers podcast if anybody wants to take it and start a new one.
Yeah.
Embiid since then, even in the Lakers game, looked like a lot more invigorated. There's a freshness. Obviously, like, it got ugly at the end and stupid and everything, but like the past three games, for the most part, he's looked really excellent and just like has some pop, has some bounce, moving the ball well, getting to the rim. I love my favorite Embiid thing. It's one of the things he doesn't do very often, but when he does do it, it adds to his unstoppability, is when he catches the ball on the move and he gets ahead of steam and he can get somewhere before the defense rotates over. I'm talking about even in the half court, not just in transition, but like in the half court when someone's when they're rotating it over, they're helping on a pick and roll and he's not even involved in it or something. It happened a couple times last night. I think Tobias hit him for one as he was rolling to the basket. And it's just so good. It's like there's a little bit of, he is so agile and he's so big and strong. Sabonis couldn't move him at all. It was really funny. Sabonis is so strong and he's so used to just bullying people. And Embiid wasn't moving at all. Like his legs weren't even moving.
He looks like a child next to him almost. Yeah.
Unbelievable how big he is. But when he's on the run, he's finishing between guys. They don't want to get in the way of him. The defense is still rotating in. That's something I always love watching him do. And you know, the mid-range has been ridiculous this year. We've talked about it a little bit, but like his percentage in the mid-range is like Kevin Durant level, which is just insane that he's become that good of a shooter. Like that's not like, when we drafted him, it was like, this guy's one of the best mid-range shooters of all time. Like that wasn't like the book on him. It was that he is an incredible shot blocker and rebounder and could finish around the rim really well. And he's just, that's a starting from zero, like almost zero point of his game, that from the time he's gotten here with the Sixers, he's become one of the best players in the NBA from the mid-range. And that's just awesome. And yeah, he's finishing around the rim.
You think
really well.
It's going in every time, by the way. Like every time he's shooting the mid-range, it feels like it's going in. And he has mentioned, he was like, I can get that shot whenever I want.
Yeah.
And I know people want me to be in the post, but like that shot's actually just as good for me. And it doesn't wear him down. You know, I'm watching the games. I don't feel like I don't see him underneath. I don't see him posting up nearly as much, but who cares? Like I don't need him posting up, you know?
Yeah. I mean, I'd rather him, you know, the things that he does that's more of like a seal while the defense is still getting set. I think Harden is so good. That's the thing that Harden gives you that nobody else on the team and not that many players around the league give you, is like making well-timed, difficult passes look easy. And think about how many times we've seen other guys try to like, oh, he's got an angle and it's like over his head. Like Harden really gets it to Embiid where he needs it a lot of the time. And just before the defense gets set, if we can get a quick, easy bucket with Joel or getting fouled quickly before the offense gets in there, like it's so much helpful. Per Derek, I wish it was Derek was just like an operating system, like a computer, a computer program. Per Derek.
Well, I mean,
basically.
Yeah.
The Sixers averaged 116.9 points per 100 plays in the half court, which is very good in the half court, especially for the Sixers, compared to 65 points per 100 plays for Sacramento in the half court. That's obviously incredible. we've known that the issue with this team has been transition defense and getting back and committing to like that and communicating and committing to that kind of side of the ball and everything. But when they get into a half court, they're still a really hard team to score against. And that's why their defense is top five.
Sacramento did miss a bunch of, they did not shoot well from three. Mm-hmm. And what was the other thing I was going to say? Half court. I don't even fucking remember. I'm not feeling well.
To play that well without Melton, who I would say is at least their most versatile defender this year. You could argue it's PJ. You could obviously argue it's Embiid, but they never look more like they have a spark when it's in Melton getting his hands on every passing lane. He's tops in the NBA in steals, I think, right now. Harden 5 steals. That was pretty cool.
Yeah.
A good Harden game. I think he tried. And you make the point, I think it's the right point, that Harden looks good when the shot is going in. And I think that's kind of the case with everybody. Like, there's no one that's like, he looks great when the shot is, when he's 0 for 8. Like, it's not.
Yeah, but you know what I mean.
I do. Because it's not a lot of, like, getting to spots, beating guys off the dribble and everything. But he was really pinpointing his passes really well last night. They generate so many more corner threes because of him being in there. Like I said about Embiid, he's getting the ball. He had 15 assists. The first guy, nice stat from the broadcast, the first Sixer with back-to-back 15-plus assist games since Maurice Cheeks. Which is just like, yeah, it feels that way. It feels like it's been a long time since we had somebody that was just like a really good, cohesive, solid passer that you trusted with the ball in their hands. And it didn't stick, you know? It wasn't the kind of game where they were just dribbling the air out of the ball and waiting for things to happen. It felt like they were getting out and going. There was one lineup. I watched the game already knowing that they had won, which is always healthy for everything. Mm-hmm. But there was a lineup that Doc put out there that was Harden and then Matisse, Niang, PJ, and Trez. And it was, I was like, how could they be doing this? How are they allowed to be doing this? How is that not a foul? A lineup foul, something, call something, anything. And Harden hit a bunch of threes to like keep that lineup afloat. I think they finished positive overall, but like an insane lineup that when George Niang is like your best creator, dribbler, passer, anything. And you got Matisse, PJ, and Trez out there who are just like, Matisse had a really nice game, offensively, a really, really nice game. And Trez has, I guess, been playing better. Because it's been, you know, hard to be worse, but still like pointless. We can talk about that later. But Harden definitely carried that lineup with the shooting and carried a bunch. And it's always just fun to see his shots go in because he takes shots that, you know, no Sixer of our, you know, the last decade or two has really been taking. And when they go in, it's like, oh, wow, this is awesome. We have a guy that does that. That's cool. And then when they miss, it feels like, you know, everybody's shrugging their shoulders and everything. But three in a row, I'm happy about it.
Tobias Harris was awesome.
Hey, man.
He was awesome.
I mean, a pro Tobias pod.
He was guarding De'Aaron Fox.
And did a good job.
He dunked again really hard. I think twice. Did he dunk twice? Oh, I'm sorry, my fucking dog.
I would like for someone to ask one of our beat reporters why are you dunking more lately?
Yes.
Like, what has changed?
It's definitely different. He didn't do it before. It's making this up.
Absolutely.
You know? Yeah.
I think that there is something to be said for, you know, he had 9 assists this game. That's his career high with the Sixers.
Yeah, it was wild. He did a great job.
And no turnovers. He was a plus 21. He took 7 threes. Great. I think there's something to be said for the shooting quickly off the catch, the making decisions quickly off the catch, is also opening up his drive game because the defense is having to run out at him faster, which then opens up the attack, which then people have to rotate, and he's just making the right plays. Derek called him a connector, and he's just been making those kind of like solid, smart plays. For a lot of Tobias's career, he has looked like a good player on a mediocre team. Like, he's not a bad player. He's never been a bad player. He has turned himself into a good player, but you always wondered like, well, you know, on a good team, on like an actually good team, when it counts, what does he do and how willing is he to do it? And over the last few months, he's just been really, really good, genuinely good. The Sixers haven't been good, but it hasn't been his fault. I'm just continuously impressed with Tobias on the defensive end. There was even a couple, you know, we talked about that Houston game where Tobias played well, but then like got his pocket picked and got like manhandled by a rookie in Tari Eason. And there's still a little bit of that too much for me, but like he's using, I want him to keep taking it personally. And I want him to keep playing mean. And if those dunks are like an example of him like developing a little bit of a mean streak, you know, he's such a nice guy. He reads so many books, always carrying them, probably carrying the books of his teammates. I would like the mean streak to be developed a little bit more. We talk about Maxey having a mean, not having a mean streak enough because he's so nice and everything. I would like Tobias a little bit more. And I think the dunks are hopefully something that we're seeing more of that.
Yeah. Like, I hope, like, if this is what happens when he's not happy and he's not playing the way that he wants to, then channeling it into this is the right way. He's doing it the right way. And I hope somewhere in his head, he realizes that shooting quickly is actually good.
Even though he does.
Yeah.
I think he does. I think he's bought in. Like I don't know. I want to know how much, you know, what we've talked about like Tobias's evolution a lot as a guy that shoots quickly and has been willing to like, you know, we've done everything he's asked for kind of thing. Or he's done everything we've asked for. And like, I want to know more about that. Like what has gone into that? Like, give me like a full article of like, what has Tobias had to do? Like in practice, in training for himself, like who is he, what like player's tape was he watching? Is like, he been watching Harrison Barnes and the Warriors back in the day? Like, is he, what was he doing to like get himself ready to do this thing? Like, I feel like that's something that like, if on a Phillies level, like I feel like Matt Gelb would write a nice long piece about that. And I want to see somebody like get in with Tobias and like hear about it and talk to the assistant coaches and everything. Like, I feel like there's a good article written about it because he deserves credit for how well he's done this season.
Tobias, come on the pod. Just come on the pod.
Come on the pod. Tobias. You can yell at me.
An Embiid thing, right after we talk about our sponsor, Body Bio, you have found some joy with Body Bio and Gut Plus, right? Joy, I guess, is a weird thing to, but you have tummy problems.
A joyful rectum right now. It's just nothing but joy coming out of there.
Body Bio put out a new product called Gut Plus, which is for anyone who is, look, if you're taking probiotics, if you have like bloat, if you're looking to like be more regular, all those things, Gut Plus is the only gut supplement you need. Not to go through all the details, but like what Gut Plus does is instead of taking a probiotic, which may or may not be good, that one for your specific body, what Gut Plus does is a prebiotic and postbiotic. What it does is it allows your body, by getting rid of the bad bacteria, it allows your body to create its own probiotics, which is natural and good. And then that postbiotic comes in and gets rid of the bloat, all that kind of stuff. If you're only going to take one gut supplement, it is Gut Plus.
I don't want to sound like a TV channel that you leave on it, like when you fall asleep to it and you wake up at 4 a.m. and it's just it's like some infomercial that you don't even know what they're advertising, but people seem like they're held hostage.
Yep.
It has like genuinely transformed my intestines. Like it's been great. Like I take one or two a day.
Yep.
And it's like, I have way less crazy stuff happening.
I can
eat like, I used to not eat cheese almost ever. I have to take a lactate with it and stuff. And now I can have stuff and I'm like pretty okay after. There's nothing, not a lot of danger. Spicy food sometimes. I like spicy food, but it was not, my stomach didn't. And I was like, it just really changed a lot. So I wasn't necessarily, I'm not like a guy that's predisposed to be like, I'm trying a supplement. Like I'm not that necessarily that guy, but it definitely, man, it has worked for me. It has been really good. And I'm glad for the Body Bio folks that they've been helping me out.
Go to bodybio.com, use code RTRS20. That is RTRS20. You get 20% off Gut Plus, 20% off anything in the store there. We've talked about Elite, which has been made a difference for both of us as well. And the great thing about the website, by the way, is it explains everything, all the stuff that I'm telling you. It explains all of it. We love Body Bio. They're local, South Jersey. They're family-owned, family-operated. Again, bodybio.com and use code RTRS20. For 20% off Gut Plus or anything else.
Alyssa took some Elite yesterday after her game, which we will talk about.
We will talk about the game.
Shortly.
We will talk about the game.
Get that bell ready.
Yeah. Before we get to the game and before we get to Daniel House and all that, I would be remiss if I did not mention, normally I think when things get aggregated and the person who writes it complains about it, that person is being a baby. But, and Jake Fisher has not complained about the aggregation of this because I know he loves links, but there's this, Jake Fisher wrote a story about Embiid where Embiid said, the fans in Philly want me to get traded. Now, it has been aggregated all over the place, but left out that after Embiid said it, he had a giant smile and he laughed. And then he said it again. Like, he's not, like if you take out the context of the fact that he's laughing, I think it changes it a lot. People love Joel Embiid. Are there people that talk about trading him? Sure, he is a player who has not succeeded at the highest level like we hoped. It happens in every city, everywhere. But the hand wringing of like, do people, oh my God, the fans in Philly, and we're going to drive Joel out of town and blah, blah, blah. Like, people fucking love Embiid. They love Embiid. There are people who are frustrated. They are. They complain when we complain, when they don't win. Nobody, like, by and large, nobody wants Joel Embiid traded. And I think Joel Embiid is perfectly happy in Philadelphia from a fan perspective. I don't know from a roster perspective or anything. But I think if you read the Jake, and honestly, if you read the best part about the Jake Fisher article is he said, they don't want you traded. They want some people out of the organization, you know, some people to be gone or something like that. Like, he was basically telling him they don't want him traded, but they want Doc fired is what Jake said to him, which I give Jake a lot of credit for doing that. But that's it. That's it. I thought it was aggregated incorrectly today, actually. I saw it everywhere.
Spike Windhorst.
Yeah.
No, I hadn't even seen this, actually. No, I don't think that people want Joel traded. I think we can criticize how he looks sometimes.
Yes.
Whilst thinking that he's
not perfect,
the best Sixer of my lifetime, and I love him, and I would die for him.
Not perfect. He deserves to be criticized sometimes. That's the game.
I think it's so notable, and hopefully we are in the midst of this changing because they're on game three of a 9-game winning streak. But it's so notable how, like, watching the Phillies highlights like I did earlier today, and watching the Eagles just fucking demolish teams. The Eagles are they're capable of looking like the most dominant team that I've ever seen.
Yeah, it's a little stunning right now. I'm sort of waiting for the other shoe to drop on it. Yeah.
It's the Eagles and it's like 2018 Villanova. Like, those are the, like, that's, it's like, I've never seen a more team that's just like looked, obviously the Eagles have looked bad a couple times this year, but like when they are clicking, like, it seems like fully impossible to stop them. But because of how good the Eagles are playing, because of how well the Phillies, like, came out of nowhere and became a sensation in town, and is the loudest stadium I've ever heard, the Sixers are just so clearly, like, everyone's looking at them and be like, you fucking pieces of shit. Why aren't you, like, they're like the third child. I mean, we're not going to mention the Flyers. We know. I don't know. I don't come to listen to another podcast.
I'm a Devils guy. Yeah.
Spike's a Devils guy. Big Josh Harris, David Blitzer.
Yeah.
But, like, the Sixers are so clearly, like, the Cinderella. The third, like, the ugly stepchild, whatever.
They're actually kind of lucky at this point, because I feel like if the Eagles, if the Phillies thing didn't happen and the Eagles weren't so good, people would be more mad about the Sixers.
Yeah, but
general.
I'm saying in the arena.
Okay.
Even when the Sixers go up big, people are still like, fucking prove it though. Yeah. Like, there's a resentment in the audience that you can feel.
Yeah.
And anytime, you know, cutting the lead from like 18 to 15 and you're like with like 4 minutes left, people are like, I don't know. Don't trust them. Like, there's a lack of trust there for sure. And so I think that Embiid maybe feels that a little bit in the arena and stuff. But there were a couple big pops in the game last night. Harden hitting those threes. Tobias, there was a nice Trez block. I'll say something nice about Trez. That led to a Tobias dunk, one of a few. They had 80 points in the first half. Like, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
They had 80 points in the first half. They had 34 assists on 43 made baskets. Like, that's really, really good basketball that they played last night. And yeah, as far as, look, a couple more things and I'll say the thing, my every single podcast B-ball Paul discussion, who hasn't played well lately. Get it.
No.
A couple things. Shake is just good. He's just good. He's just a good player. He is
his best season.
He's in the role that he is supposed to play. Mm-hmm. He is a combo guard off the bench. He can create a little bit. They really like him, and I really like him attacking against like an unset defense. Like, when it's not like he's out in transition, it's just him, you know, skying over people. But when the defense isn't fully set and there's one guy back, I want Shake to go at that guy because he's got a really nice touch in that like 4 to 8 foot range. He'll take a bump. Sometimes he'll get called for an offensive foul and like a push off or something, but he usually doesn't. He's really good at just finishing in those nice little middle distance stuff. He's been great. A ton of weird finishes for Shake. Sometimes he has it with like the left. Like he's just a really good player and he's turned himself into a very useful player for a guy that's been here for a long time. Drafted in the 50s, like was a 3-year player. Like he has grown into like a really, really solid NBA player and on an expiring contract. I don't know what it's going to look like with him going forward, but I like Shake. I think he's him and Melton. If he can stay also as like a long-term backup guard unit with behind Maxie and Thybulle, like that's, or Maxie and Harden, Thybulle, Maxie and Harden, that's really, really nice. And so I just want to keep giving Shake a lot of credit because he's been awesome. It was a good Matisse offensive game.
Yeah.
It was.
Now, amazing when you consider he had 2 fouls in the first 90 seconds of the fucking game. And it looked like, because he started, and it looked like when they started him and PJ Tucker, I was like, oh no.
Yeah, I don't like it. I don't think that they should ever really be on the court at the same time. That's not like an end of quarter scenario
no.
kind of thing. But
him hitting a few threes and
fucking, 3 of 4 from three, a couple finishes inside. Looks a little bit more under control offensively. You know, we saw that a couple games ago, we saw those like, those dunks, I think it was against the Lakers, those dunks from the baseline. I want to see more of that. Like, I would like to see that. But I do wonder, you know, I think he's also just like over time improved his handle a little bit and is now like not like a total zebra on skates. But PJ Tucker has not had a good offensive season by any measure, although he hit 2 threes last night, which was nice.
Do you know he scored 23 points in a game last year?
That's hard to believe. It's hard to imagine him.
Yeah.
Being doing that by himself on the court.
Yep.
He's not been good offensively this year, but he has been decisive. Like that's not a thing that PJ struggles with, is like a lack of, he's not like dribbling around aimlessly. He's not like pump faking and trying to do a bunch of stuff. He's just sort of like, he gets rid of the ball quickly. He's not good decisive, but he's at least fast decisive. And if you're not going to be someone that does anything with the ball, at least get rid of it quick. And I do wonder if some of that has worn on to Matisse a little bit and grown from that. Because Matisse is crazy athletic and he's long. And those kinds of like quick, decisive movements, he can get up and get to those places faster than most people can, especially than PJ can. So I wonder if just like being around PJ is going to be a thing that is, even though their skill sets are different, be a thing that is ultimately a net positive for Matisse as he continues to get like, you know, small, but like incrementally better at just like normal basketball shit from playing it as long as he will be. So I've liked it. I came into the season being pretty down on Matisse. He fouls, you know, a couple of the stupid fouls were stupid. But the whole team has been struggling with that. That's why they've let other teams back into games, because they've been fouling too much. And that feels like kind of not, that's kind of unlike them as a team. And Embiid sort of sets the tone as being not, you know, he has for a big guy that affects so many shots, he doesn't foul much at all. But I think lately they have been, and that's hurt them prior to this 3-game winning streak.
Before we get to coaching,
I gotta do my Bebo Paul thing.
Oh yeah. Go.
Okay. Look, he's been bad lately. Obviously. He's been bad. I can say it when he's been bad. Great customer service, sometimes bad at basketball.
Yep.
But
sent me a tracking number for my hoodie.
Via can confirm. DM. I got a screenshot of it from you.
Yep.
The problem isn't, like, it's another reason, I've done this before. You got to play him anyway. And if you're not going to play him anyway, if this continues to happen, which it has, we've been through this cycle a bunch of times where Doc will get tired of B-ball Paul and he'll put in Trez, and Trez will score 0 points in 12 minutes on 2 shots and miss bunnies and not box out and just generally be a nothing out there. Then trade him. Then trade B-ball Paul.
Wow.
Send him to a family who will love him.
A trade request.
Get him out of here, man. Like, I'm tired of, he is, let him play on like the Thunder or the Hornets or something. Like, just let him do that. I was watching the Hornets game thinking like, it would be nice if PJ Washington was a little bit better, because he'd be the kind of person that I would like to be here. I think his numbers look a little bad this year because LaMelo hasn't been in, so he hasn't been getting, he's been having to do a little bit more than he's comfortable with. He hasn't been, you know, he's a catch and shoot guy really. But like as a 4-5 who can do some George Niang things, but also can do a little bit of like rim protecting against a smaller team and stuff. I wonder if PJ Washington is an option. Just like package Bebo Paul with somebody else and go get a better backup center who is old enough for Doc to respect them, who can, I guess, remember the plays if Bebo Paul doesn't remember the plays. But again, the Sixers aren't running any plays, so what does he have to remember? He doesn't. I love Bebo Paul. I'm tired of seeing him treated like this. Even when he hasn't been playing well, he should be able to work through his mistakes, because there is no chance in hell Montrezl Harrell will ever be effective at this stage in his career in the playoffs.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. There is a 0% chance. There might be like, I mean, we saw it last year. He was fine. I would like a little bit better than fine. But like, there's like a whatever percent chance you think B-Ball Paul can be effective in the playoffs. It's higher than Trez. And if that's the case.
Well, we've seen it.
We've seen it. And so, I don't know.
We've seen a team lose in the playoffs because of playing Montrezl Harrell.
Yeah.
And we've seen B-Ball Paul play well in the playoffs. So yeah.
Or well enough. Like, he wasn't exhilarating. I mean, exhilarating as far as the backup center goes, but like he was just fine. He held down the fort and he's improved as an offensive player, at least like done the things that he has had to do. You're slowly dying off screen.
I'm okay. I'm gonna keep talking. I forget I'm on video. I'm okay.
Good.
I'm okay.
But I just, it's either Daryl, it's either you fire Doc or trade B-Ball Paul.
Wow.
That's an ultimatum.
Because
I'm tired of seeing Bebo Paul treated like this. I don't think Doc's ever going to get to a point where he respects him and lets him work through his mistakes for longer than like 3 or 4 games at a time.
The best part of your ultimatum is that normally an ultimatum is if you don't do X, I will do X. But your
ultimatum will be upset about it.
Is only other people.
I'm going to be mad and I'll keep bringing it up on the podcast. But yeah, so I mean, it wasn't good Trez last night, but there was like a game or two where Trez was like playing at least the offense. He has been a good offensive player in the past. He just has not been this year at all. He looks like his legs weigh 1,000 pounds and he doesn't shoot.
He's not high anymore.
Let him get high.
Yeah.
He's never played defense. He's just like, he's just adding nothing to the team aside from the ladder stuff, which I did like. So if I need to free B-Ball Paul to another team, I'm happy to do it so he can play and graze out on somebody else's pasture and have a wonderful time away from Doc Rivers or fire Doc.
Before we get to Daniel House's rap song and Coach Mike, we did get one voicemail about the Kings game that I thought was funny. 833 Lickface. That is 833 Lickface to leave us a voicemail.
Guys, I fucking hate this team. They take the life out of me. Right now, the Sixers are handling the Kings and it doesn't even matter. They're going to go like on a 7 or 8 game run. They do this every fucking year and it doesn't matter. They're so annoying. We know what's going to happen. It's going to be a second round exit just like every fucking year. You know what I'm doing inside tonight? I'm watching 1982's The Verdict. I'm not watching the fucking Sixers game. I'm watching fucking movies from the 80s. Fuck this team.
From the 80s.
Every voicemail has to start off with you, with your, everyone with their head in their hands saying how much they hate this team. That's a requirement. That's a voicemail requirement that I'm laying down.
Oh, actually, before we get to Coach Mike, we actually have a different Mike.
Oh, here we go.
Vegas Mike.
Jared, I've been on a bit of a run.
There we go. All right. Vegas Mike, first of all, two questions for you. Two questions for Vegas Mike. These are DraftKings odds, DraftKings Sportsbook. First, Eagles line. Eagles at the Bears. Eagles at the Bears on Sunday.
Is I haven't checked. What is Justin Fields' status?
I don't know.
Okay.
Fuck if I know.
I feel like playing or probably playing.
Okay.
He's sick, but most likely playing.
Like me.
CJ. There Vegas CJ.
Yep.
I'm going to say Eagles at Bears. Give me Eagles. 7.5.
It's 9. Vegas Mike. Yeah. 9. And then the second question is, we haven't done this in a while. Sixers championship odds, odds to win the championship, the Sixers right now?
I would say they're probably
at DraftKings.
8th or 9th.
10th.
Behind
the Pelicans.
I love the Pelicans, man.
I'm sure.
I love the Pelicans. Except the number one seed in the West.
Yeah. They are plus 2,200 at DraftKings Sportsbook. Yeah. Look, DraftKings Sportsbook, our presenting sponsor. We love them. They're an official sports betting partner of the NBA. Bet $5 on a pregame money line on any NBA team to win their game and you get $150 in free bets if they do, if you're a new user. Plus, same game parlays. Vegas Mike loves DraftKings Sportsbook. And if you're in Maryland, DraftKings Sportsbook now live in your state. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and get in on the holiday hoops action. Sign up with code RTRS, place a $5 pregame moneyline bet on any NBA team to win and get $150 in free bets if they do. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook, promo code RTRS. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details.
This is particularly fitting because we shoot Young Rock in Memphis. Out of a lot of our main sets are in Graceland, our Graceland studios.
I'm a big Elvis guy. I fucking love Elvis. So
it's cool to be there.
Alyssa's basketball team, which you are the coach of.
I am the coach of. Oh, wait. Hang on 1 second.
Okay.
Hang on 1 second. Vamp for 2 seconds.
Oh, man. Well, of all the days to vamp. So Mike is the coach of Alyssa's team. Now, last we heard, they were going into the playoffs, but Alyssa's team was stricken by injury, I think by COVID. Was somebody sick, I think, maybe? And Mike was worried, as they are in the 2-3 matchup in this four-team playoff bracket.
Yeah.
And we had the 2-3 game, yes?
Yes, 2-3 game. So right before the game, our point guard, my friend, gave me a jacket.
Oh, my God.
That says coach.
Oh, my God.
It's a Dickies jacket.
Dickies jackets are great. Oh, my God. The bell is going crazy after this.
Pretty cool. It's pretty good.
Wow.
The lining is legit.
Wow, Dickie. Oh, my goodness.
Serious stuff. So, I'm going to wear it. I'm going to wear it out into the world. I was wearing it while I was coaching, and then I had to immediately take it off because it was too hot, but...
Wow.
Yes. So here's the deal. The game, there was the 1-4 game was at 7 o'clock. The 2-3 game, which we were in, we were the 2 seed, was immediately after.
Okay.
And then if we won that game, the championship would be immediately after that.
Whoa. In the same night.
I know. In the same night. Wait, Mike.
And weren't you down to like 6 people?
Well, Spike.
Oh boy.
Couple days before the game.
Oh no.
We got down to 5.
Oh, no.
And then as I was driving to the game, we were down to 4.
What? What happened?
One of the people, so a couple people had surgery, had plantar fasciitis, truly. Mm. Our power forward, Meg, got plantar fasciitis and has been out. A couple people had like already blown their knee out earlier in the season, not like during the games, not when I was there at any point. I'm not blowing girls' knees out and anything. I just want to make that clear. I'm not causing injuries. I'm not the friggin' Sixers medical staff.
Debatable.
No, it's not.
Okay.
It's not.
All right.
But some other people hurt their back, other things. And then our team captain got COVID. And then we were going to have 6. And our team captain is like one of our best players. And then another girl got COVID. And she was probably our best player left. And then the team captain's wife, who's also on the team, on the way to the gym, got COVID.
Oh, no.
So we had 4. And so the choice was with, and Alyssa was one of the 4. My fiance Alyssa was one of the 4.
Player coach Mike. Player coach Mike.
Let me play, first of all, is number one. Allow me to play, which unfortunately is against the rules.
Okay.
And we were like, do we try to add somebody? We were asking that over the course of the days, but because it's the playoffs, they check IDs. Mm-hmm. And so the only way we could have added somebody, which we talked about, and like me texting people at the last minute, would have been to forfeit. And we can play, but it would have been a forfeit.
Oh, wow.
And so the four players on the team, Alyssa, Caitlin, Christina, and Maeve, decided, fuck it, let's play.
Yes. Didn't go well. I can see by your face. I mean, 5-on-4 is tough.
5-on-4.
Yeah.
To a team we had lost to the week before.
Yeah.
And we fucking won.
What?
We won by 11.
You won with four people?
We won with four people. I put him in a 1-2-1 zone with our point guard, Christine at the top, Alyssa and Caitlin on the wings, and Maeve. I told Maeve, I was like, just get every rebound. I need every rebound, Maeve. She's tall. She's long.
Wow.
And they just played their asses off, man. They played their fucking asses off. Right before the game, you're going to like this. Right before the game, I was like, I was racking my brain, being like, what advantages can I try to give us at any point to try to get us to win this game? I was like, you can use three timeouts. You can use three timeouts total. So like one in the first half, two in the second half. Is generally
what a
how you
story
play.
From Coach Mike here. I know. This is unbelievable.
I know. And so I was like, what advantage can we do? And right before the game started, the refs picked like one of their balls, the other team's balls to use. And I was like, no. We are the home team. We have the better record. We choose the ball that we get to use. And so we used Alyssa's ball. And that was one thing that I did. So I felt pretty good about that.
Wow.
I pulled rank. And Alyssa played really well. She had 14 points. That's a career high for her. Her and Matisse both set in career highs last night.
Wow.
Although Matisse is season high. And they moved the ball really well. They didn't turn the ball over. They defended their asses off. Got
the
deflection.
They only had four people. The other team should be ashamed of themselves.
I know. I think honestly, that was what I said pregame and in huddles and stuff, being like, they are rattled by this.
Yeah, scared.
They are. Once we got into a little bit of a lead, Alyssa hit a couple threes early. It was just like, we were in their head, and you can tell that they started getting like antsy and not trusting each other and stuff. And it was awesome, man. It really kicked ass. It was great.
Huge.
So unfortunately,
oh yeah, you had to play right
then
after.
Then we had to immediately, no one even peed. No one, there was not a break. There was not like a go get a drink and let's think about this. It was okay. Sign in for the next game. And the team we were playing in the championship was the one seed who hadn't lost all year. And they had just won the game at 7 o'clock. They had won by like 40 points and they were like sleepwalking. They shouldn't be in this division. They're too good. You're not allowed to have girls that played college basketball in there. And maybe they didn't, maybe play like D2 or something, D3. They weren't like high level because they're too small. But like this team knows what they're doing. Like they're passing really well. They're like cutting in smart places. Everyone can shoot. Like they're really, really good. And they're also coached by other guys. And they've just been good. But we fucking hung with them, man. We were up 17-16 midway through the first half.
Wow.
And I was just like so proud of everybody and trying to use my timeouts well, get them in breaks and stuff. Eventually, the whole season, I'll slow it down. Or I'll speed it up so I can, we don't have to keep doing this. But I did get almost thrown out by the refs because they weren't giving me any fucking calls, man. It's like, dude, I have four people and you're still not going to give me any calls? And I almost got tossed and he screamed at me. He's like, don't tell me I do my job. Different guy. Than the other guy that said he's an accredited high school ref. Different guy, but still doesn't like me. Refs don't like me. I don't like them. That's pretty clear. Eternal rivalry. That's Duke UNC is me and refs. And they weren't giving us calls. Almost got tossed. But we battled. They extend. I was like, anything under a 25-point loss is a win. Going 4-on-5. Immediately after playing a game, 80 straight minutes of basketball against a team that hadn't lost all year. And we were down by 20 at one point and we cut it to fucking 12 with 6 minutes left. Played our asses off, man. We scored 34 points, which they hadn't.
What are you going to parlay this into?
I know. I don't know.
Yeah.
But so it feels great. We battled. Everybody played good. We got a little chippy at the end, which is always fun. Alyssa played really well. She was so proud of herself. Alyssa posted a reel on Instagram that Sixers president Daryl Morey liked and commented on. So Daryl scouting Alyssa. It was cool. I really genuinely like to be sappy for a second. I was like so proud of these four girls. Like I was genuinely so proud of them that they like, it's hard to play that many minutes.
Yeah.
With underhand. It's not like you're playing, because we played five before where you're like, hey, you're playing the whole game. Sorry. But like to play four where you're playing the whole game and also someone is always open. I was very proud of them. And I didn't think I would like coaching that much because I I feel like I don't have much control of it, and I feel like I would be mean, but I really tried to be encouraging the whole time, especially last night.
Did they lift you up and carry you out?
They should have. Yeah. They gave me the jacket instead. But yeah, it was cool. So hopefully something to build on for next season. Getting to my first championship game in my first year. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah.
With four people. Hopefully people get healthy and we can...
It's a fucking Disney movie.
Bro. I know. Yeah. I know. That was awesome. So that was... Yeah, and I was especially impressed with Daryl liking Alyssa's video, even though she almost never posts pictures of herself in yoga pant. So I think that is a growth for him as well.
Wow. Wow, the straight shot.
No, I love it. I love it. Yeah. The best. So I feel good. I feel like I do identify with Doc a little bit in being a better coach when we're undermanned. So
congratulations to your
Thank
team.
You. Thank to you. They played their hearts out.
Well done. Very proud of the team.
Yeah.
Before we get to the awards,
we'll have to do a fly the process to me coaching a game.
You know, we could do that, right?
That'd be really funny. Yeah. That'd be very funny. There were some fans of the other team that were kind of pissing me off a little bit. So it would have been nice to have a few dozen rowdy Sixers fans bullying them in the stands.
Coach Mike, forever.
There you go.
Before we get to the awards and Daniel House,
yeah,
your dog deserves a Christmas present.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, dogs celebrate the birth of Christ, too.
Yeah.
You know, they deserve
and they actually do it the right way.
Yeah.
It's not like a Hallmark holiday for them. They're specific Christian dogs.
Yep. Yep. Even Jewish dogs deserve a Hanukkah present. BigBarker.com/Ricky. BigBarker.com/Ricky. We get Christmas presents for our dog in our home. It is the Big Barker is, I say it's the only or the best dog bed on the market. It is the only real dog bed on the market. It is the only one that has been proven to be so supportive that your dog will actually be healthier. That's right. Your dog's joints will be healthier. Proven by Penn Vet, increased mobility, increased joint function, a reduction in pain severity. All of these things happen. Look, most of the dog beds you see, they look nice. They look fluffy, but they're not supportive. Your dog spends a lot of time on the bed. Your job as a dog owner is to give your dog the most happy, healthy life you can. And Big Barker is part of that. If you go to bigbarker.com/Ricky, not only do you get the Big Barker dog bed, but you get two processed pup patches to put on the Big Barker dog bed. It comes in all different shapes and all different shapes or all different sizes rather, from tiny.
Pretty, you know, same shape, generally same pretty shape. Rectangular.
Yeah. The Barker Jr. to the big ones, which it was originally designed for, the giant ones, the huge one, all different colors and looks really sleek and nice. You know, we have one in our bedroom. We have one in the guest room. Rebel is too. Well, they're our sponsor. BigBarker.com/Ricky. I know what you're saying. You're like, a couple $100 for a dog bed? Yes. First of all, it's better. It'll keep your dog healthier, which is probably going to save you money in the long run and make your dog healthier. And also, it's made better, so it's going to last longer. There's a 10-year warranty. The foam doesn't flatten, or they replace it for free. By the way, if you give it to your dog for Christmas, we want pictures. Put them in the Process Pup Gallery. A 1-year at-home trial. If you don't like it, your dog doesn't like it, they'll give you a full refund. They'll even pay for the shipping. It's handmade in the USA. Big Barker dog beds. Okay. Daniel House is on the Sixers. And he, thanks to, and we said this in the filter in, thanks to Ethan, sent us a note and let us know that Daniel House not only has his normal Instagram account, but he has an Instagram account, 4dhouse.ent, his entertainment account. And he has rap music. And I figured we play a little Daniel House rap music. Okay, here we go. It's called the Four Big Time. Watch on my wrist, perfect timing. Yeah. Diamonds hitting bling blind. Yeah, they are blind. They are blind. A new coupe. Yeah, that bitch came topless. I ain't even had to drop it. Heavy fabric on my body. No bitches on my feet. Baby, family. You can copy to the coupe. Is that him with his family? I don't know. There you go. So link in bio, by the way, according to CJ. So there you go. I honestly, all like, this sounds like SoundCloud rap to me. This kind of rap sounds the same to me. But Mike, your review of Daniel House's rap song.
Not a confident music guy.
Mm-hmm.
Right. I find a lot of rap videos to be pretty funny.
Yeah.
I think about the act of doing it. And it's just so much of it is just like, look at the camera,
mm-hmm.
look really cool.
Yep.
Get as much like, as many like hot people and like money as you can find
mm-hmm.
and look as cool as you can muster. And I think that's just like a funny thing. I didn't think it was bad. You have to be, who is really bad? Like as at anything in the NBA that is like posting their shit, you know?
You mean as far as rapping?
Or like anything.
Right, right.
Like if you're like a horrible painter.
Right.
Like if Jaden McDaniels was a terrible painter, but he's like, here's my painting shit. Like he's bragging about it. I'm going to sell it. Whatever. It'd be like a weird, they'd be like a kind of weird thing. I think that they, professional athletes, I think like hold themselves to a very high standard. And so they would have to think that they're at least very good to do it. Doesn't feel like a thing you would do on a whim, I guess.
Yeah. That's my thought. You know, we had for the first couple years of the Ricky, first few years of the Ricky, our intro song was Dana Barros's Check It.
That's right.
From basketball's
best. I haven't thought about
that in a while. Yeah. B-ball's best kept secret. It was a rap CD, all of NBA players. And Dana Barros had a good song. So Check It was our intro.
Yeah.
Obviously Iverson had songs.
Did he ever tell, he never told us to stop that. Dana, nobody sees and desisted, right?
No, and we almost had him come on the pod. He had like a camp, and I exchanged emails with him, and he never came on.
One of my all-time favorite players, Dana Barros.
Great player. Great player.
Yeah.
So there you go, Daniel House. So before we get to the new NBA awards, another voicemail, this one about Embiid, 833-LICKFACE is the number to call.
What's up, guys? Huge fan of the pod. Been listening for a long time. Just wanted to call quickly as a Joel Embiid appreciation voicemail. Joe, if you're listening, Daryl, if you're listening, Philly still loves you. Don't listen to Spike, who complains about you seemingly after every game now. We love you. This town loves you. Even if we forget about the Charlotte game where you just absolutely dominated, still, for someone that quote unquote isn't trying, who has bad energy levels, you're doing pretty damn good to be leading the league in scoring. So we appreciate Joe. Want him to know that. I saw one of the radio stations ran a poll the other day asking who the best athlete in Philly was, and Joel got like 4 or 8% of the vote. And this has got totally out of hand. I'll give my first for Joel Embiid to retire a 76er. And be in Philly forever and see that statue go up. So, Joe, we appreciate you. Thanks, guys. Love the pod.
Mm. You didn't listen to the whole thing, did you?
What's that?
You didn't listen
to the whole thing? No, I didn't hear the very, very end where the cell phone
No, I meant, because I always wonder what voicemails make it through.
Yeah.
I feel like you were like, oh, this is a Joe of appreciation. But then he came on with like the like, don't listen to Spike.
No. I was purposely rolling my eyes. That was for effect. Yeah. All we've done on the podcast for like,
I know, but you've been negative about him lately.
Like, yes,
it's been, the whole team is negative vibes,
but you know what?
Which we get, but like you have been, it's a sharp turn for you. It's felt like for years,
because
you would be
a little paw in the
like talking some shit a little bit here and there. And it seems like that has gone over the last couple months, and now you're like,
because I expect
you
more.
Jumped in.
I expect more. And you sure. Want to know what? You know what? Want to know what? He hears that, not like our podcast, but like he pays attention to things that are going on, like what people are saying about him. And there's no doubt that at least some of his like refocus is people criticizing him. I'm sorry. It's true. I'm not saying that like that is my intent, but like, I think I've been more than fair to Joel Embiid over his career. I love the guy. He's like my favorite, like I pick the role player guys all the time who I really love, but like star player wise, my favorite Sixer ever. I love the guy. I want him to win a championship here. I don't want him to ever go, but I expected more. And I thought I've been fair. And I hate when Philadelphia fans start crying that we're going to run someone out of town like a bunch of fucking babies.
Losers. When was the last time Philadelphia ran someone out of town?
Never.
It feels like it's been a while, at least.
Never.
Someone like that's actually good. Like, I could see a couple people be like, not interested.
Yeah.
But someone that is here that we want to resign that doesn't want
Scott Dolin
not to go. Yeah.
Fucking 20 years ago.
It feels like a residual thing from a past era.
Yeah.
That doesn't really hold up anymore.
Yeah. So the NBA announced that they are naming their awards after players. They're renaming their awards after players. The MVP is the Michael Jordan Trophy. The Defensive Player of the Year is the Akeem Olajuwon Trophy, which seems like an excuse just to give Akeem a trophy. He was a great defensive player, but whatever. Rookie of the Year Trophy is the Wilt Chamberlain. Sixth Man of the Year is the John Havlicek. The Most Improved Player is George Mikan. And then the Clutch Player of the Year, which I fucking love, of course, and I'm sure you hate, is the Jerry West Trophy, who famously did not win a championship until the end of his career. That's how clutch he is. I ask you, Mike, if you were to name the MVP after a Sixer from the last 10 years, who would you name it after?
I mean, I think
Joel.
Let's be honest and let's be clear about if we're an honest naming system, it has to be Joel. Of course it does.
Yep. Defensive Player of the Year.
Could also be Joel.
Yeah.
Joel too. Probably Covington. You probably go Covington.
He was the first good defensive player we had.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Robert Covington. I'm trying to find the name shirt. Where's the name shirt? That's really, that is honestly more than anything else. The Rice Ricky Sanchez names shirt is like the most canon of who qualifies as process. All right, here it is. I got it.
It's funny. I said that aside from Sixth Man of the Year, you could have named every trophy the Michael Jordan Trophy. I think it's sort of the same thing with Joel, honestly, with this. Rookie of the Year.
Michael Carter Williams.
Oh, that's a good one. I was going to say Dario, but Michael Carter Williams is a good one.
Michael Carter Williams Rookie of the Year.
Man of the Year has to go to.
Because he had to be that good for them to trade him.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sixth Man of the Year has to go, even though he started a lot, the Sixth Man has to be Roden. Or is it not?
That's interesting. Roden is a pretty close one. Let me just scroll through. Not Gonny LaWall, not Scotty Wilbekin, not Travis Outlaw, not Brandon Davies. TJ is an option.
Yeah.
TJ is an option, but I don't think of him as like
six-man. He doesn't have classic six-man.
Energy, right, for sure. Let me just look through. Cannon, Hollis, Vanderblue. James Nunnally, obviously, still kicking around. Yeah. I think Roden is the answer.
Most improved, I think, is TJ.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, I remember when he was in...
Jakar also camp. Could be.
Yeah, but TJ's now like a real NBA player.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And I didn't think he was even going to make the team.
Yeah. And let's go TJ.
Yeah.
He deserves one. As far as like process guys, like Embiid, Covington, TJ, like are definitely need one. I'm glad Roden got one too. That's fair. Yeah.
And clutch player of the year.
You're going to want to give it to Isaiah Cannon.
You're going to want to do that.
You could also give this to TJ because of the jumper against the Knicks.
Yeah.
Clutch player of the year. Could also spell it with a K and see who's represented by clutch.
You have to give it to Ben Simmons. It would be very funny to give him clutch player of
the year. That's pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, we get a little tongue-in-cheek. Yeah. Why not?
Change it
award shows aren't tongue-in-cheek enough, I think. Let's give it to Ben Simmons. Why not?
Okay. Before we go, you have a choice.
Oh, wait. Really quickly, the Jerry West thing. People keep doing the like, oh, it's so upsetting that how he was portrayed in Winning Time. Like,
I saw somebody say, who the fuck cares? Who even saw that show?
I get Jerry West being like, this isn't what it's like. Anytime anyone is writing any scripted historical thing. Like, that's not really what they said. And that's not oftentimes really how they acted. He's a character. It's a character they address. Also, he was fucking funny as hell on that show. They made you seem like really funny. And I empathize with him as a guy that like couldn't win a championship and like couldn't be happy and was finding the stuff. I'm sure there were things that he like maybe quibbled with or whatever, but like, I didn't think it was such like a bad representation. Like, oh, we made him look like a dick. If you want to make someone look like a dick, we can make someone look like a dick. It's very easy to make someone look like a huge, massive piece of shit, but like, it's fine. He's probably a rat bastard who really gave a fuck about winning. And like, here's a funny portrayal of him doing that. I thought that was one of my favorite parts of the show, which I had issues with, but I thought that the Jerry West portrayal was not one of them.
I didn't see the show. And my biggest point on that is that show, no matter how many people saw it, was not big enough to change the general perception of Jerry West. Like, people think this exact same thing of Jerry West today as they did 1 year ago before that show came out. Before we go, you have a choice. Do we do email or voicemail?
Or do we talk just for like 5 minutes about the Jaden Springer block on Davion Mitchell?
It was a great block.
It was a great block.
I was stunned that he got into the game.
He's very good at that. His offense just like has to get to a place where he can be on a court because his defense is so legitimate. But he's like seems so young out there. He seems so young and confused, like a little jacked baby.
No, yeah.
I wish that Jaden Springer was around during the process so he could just like work through his shit.
Would have been great.
But like, it's just not, it's the era is not right for him.
Wrong era.
Yeah.
Right player, wrong era.
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Voicemail, email.
Give me an email.
All right. This comes from Patrick. writes to Ricky Sanchez at gmail.com. This comes from Patrick. Hey, Spike, Mike, and CJ. Ashamed to admit I'm a late listener of the pod. November 21. The first take I remember Mike having was a hopeful one about Thibel's offense. Other than tonight, it's a pretty bad look. Mike is awesome, though. And I gratuitously included that to bait Spike into reading this on the pod because he loves people who shit on Mike. Here you go. And by the way, he is right, but mostly because most of the disdain in the voicemails and the emails is for me. And I think your reaction is always funny when they're mad at you.
That's fair.
I think it makes for good. So here you go. One basketball, one non-basketball question, plus a bonus based on my career. One, how in the fuck is a kickball not a delay of game technical foul? It's literally a delay to the game with an unnatural stop reset. It's almost always intentional. It doesn't make one bit of sense to me. I've been playing watching basketball since I was 5 years old. My objection here is that like, I feel like most kicked balls are not kicked balls at all. They're a ball that hits somebody's leg that I wish they just wouldn't call.
Yeah.
I would be fine if the kick ball was a delay of game if it was an actual kicked ball.
Yeah.
But most of them just hit somebody's leg. Right?
I agree. I don't think it should be it. I don't think we need more delays of game because delaying the game after kick ball is an additional delay to the game.
Yeah.
We're compounding delays if the issue is trying
more
to limit
delays.
There was a play last night in the championship game, hit the bell, where a girl kicked in the ball on the other team, like on purpose. It was like a lift the leg to kick the ball situation to prevent a pass. And the refs just didn't call it. Two refs, kick ball, no reaction, no response.
Hmm.
And the other girl, I was like, that's a kick. Very obviously a kick. The thing that is interesting about that I think our listeners would find interesting is that when I'm coaching and talking shit to the refs, I sound still like I'm doing a podcast. So like, I don't have another mode.
Yeah.
So I'm just kind of being a little bit of like an analytical shit to them in the moment.
I'm sure they love it.
Yeah. That's why they like it so much. And that's why they almost throw me out of every game. But when that happened, a girl on the other team looked at me and like nodded on the other team. I was like, yeah, I kicked it. Why didn't they call it? And it's just like, man, fuck refs. Fuck them all.
Anyway. Non-basketball question. Would you rather face a zombie apocalypse or a robot apocalypse? Ground rules. Zombies are dumb, multiply easily, fairly easy to kill and slow. Robots are intelligent, do not reproduce, but are tough to kill and travel at a reasonable speed. There are no easy opportunities to short circuit the robots or reprogram them. I would die so quickly in any of these scenarios that I would rather face a zombie apocalypse than a robot apocalypse.
Yeah. I mean, my first thought is like zombies are like gross.
Yes, they are.
And like a little disgusting.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I don't want them like slobbering on me, whereas a robot is like theoretically pretty clean. But I guess that's not like priority number one in an apocalypse.
Yeah.
If we're already saying apocalypse, then it's a relatively dirty atmosphere.
It's bad.
So I guess I'll go with the slow zombies that are dumb.
And then the bonus question, as an academic, I want to hear your thoughts on tenure, i.e. applying for a guaranteed job for life. Mike, any thoughts on tenure?
I have not a single thought about it.
If you want to give a professor like early, like not severance, but like, what do you call when you fucking...
A player option.
Like if you want to give them a salary for life because they've done such great things for university, that's fine. But giving them a job for life, that's not how jobs work. And I think it's dumb.
And it shouldn't be. When people hit a certain age, they should stop fucking working.
Wow. Aegis Mike brings it back.
Absolutely. Always. Hubie Brown.
Oh, there it is.
Shouldn't be working anymore. Go to bed. What?
Doc Rivers, Montrezl Harrell, all on the list.
Yes, Doc Rivers should be aged out. Montrezl Harrell should have to retire. Him and Hubie Brown can go retire together. I would watch that. I would watch that pregame show. We can do a pregame show from your ranch where you two have retired together.
Yeah. All right. Well, we will talk to you next time. The Sixers are 3-6 in Mike's.
3-6 They play the Warriors on Friday.
That's a tough one.
Warriors are playing tonight, so the Sixers are hopefully watching it together, having a nice bottle of James Harden Red Blend.
I believe they play, they played, and they played last night too, the Warriors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and the Sixers have 2 days off between games, so they should be a practice, maybe a practice, but working on that zone that Doc Rivers says they're always practicing. And so then we'll be live the next, not Saturday morning, Sunday morning after.
Right.
After that. I can't. But this is the game to win. Let's win it. Let's beat the Warriors and keep feeling good about this and start to drum up. I want to feel the groundswell of like Sixers support in the arena.
It's almost there. It's coming.
I think it's coming too. If they can beat the Warriors, I think that they would feel that.
And congratulations to your team of four who played 4-5-1.
Yeah.
And a biggest congratulations to Coach of the Year, Coach Mike, who we all need to coach the Philadelphia 76ers.
That'd be really funny if that's how this ended.
Yeah.
I don't feel like I'm equipped to do that. It would be funny if I got to do it.
Oh my God.
The Sixers are, let's just say it, they're currently the 5 seed. So, and a game and a half out of the 3 seed. So the Celtics and Bucks are probably going to be the top 2, but it's a lot of jumbledness.
After
from
that,
like 3-11, really. So, an annoying
Nets
start to the season,
too.
A joyless start to the season in a lot of ways. But this could very easily end with them just being the 3 seed, which we all kind of expected they would be at some point anyway. So let's keep this winning streak going. 6 more to go.
All right, are you done with TTP?
Yeah, you know, like this.
If you don't fuck with me. Then I won't fuck with you.
But if you fuck with me,
I'm gonna fucking kill you!
Time for Plan B.